Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. People always ask me, Craig Ballantyne, how do you do it? How are you able to crank out a new book every year? How do you write so many articles? How are you able to create so many videos and scripts? And my goodness, the emails you send out, how are you able to be so creative? And the answer, my friend, is about being structured. Structured allows you to be more productive. And if you don't believe me, listen to this amazing quote from Daniel Elk, the CEO of Spotify. He said, I write out what my daily, weekly, monthly goals are, and every evening I check how I'm doing. And then I allocate my time to match the goals. People think that creativity is this free spirit that has no boundaries. No, actually, the most creative people in the world schedule their creativity. That's the irony. Yes, and you will learn about Stephen King and Dan Kennedy and Mark Ford and, you know, so many great creative people that I look up to. You're going to learn their secrets of creativity in this episode of Early to Rise Radio. Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, and today I'm going to reveal what you must do if you want to 10x your creativity, which allows you to at least triple your productivity in sales. I would say five times, but I guess that's quintuple. I didn't know how to say it, so that's the only reason I didn't say it. But definitely you're going to 10x your creativity. This is how I've, you know, written my books, cranked out 2,000-4,000-word newsletters every week. Okay, so every week I write a 4,000-word newsletter for my clients and a 4,000-word newsletter for my staff. And I produce the new book every year. And I write probably about 3,000 words in 90 minutes when I'm putting together my video scripts, all because of the 7 steps that I'm going to teach you today. So Early to Rise Radio is brought to you by my books. So first of all, I wrote The Perfect Day Formula in about 15 minutes a day over a period of a couple years. And you can get The Perfect Day Formula at freeperfectdaybook.com and improve every area of your life. You can take that time ownership that I talk about in that book, apply it to your creativity and 10x your results. And then you can also get my second book, a Wall Street Journal bestseller, at beunstoppablebook.com. Okay, I'm going to talk a lot about how I wrote these books in today's episode. So as I mentioned, there's 7 main areas, 7 steps that I want to focus on. And they kind of go in not order of importance, but in order of how you'd need to apply them. So the first one is being a content expert. I remember back when I was an undergraduate, I was getting a bachelor's of kinesiology degree at a university called McMaster in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, which is like our version of Pittsburgh. It's our steel town. And my goodness, I wanted to be a speaker. I wanted to be an expert. And I started doing presentations in front of students in like my 3rd or 4th year. And I had to work so hard on those presentations. I had to try and memorize the slides. I put too much content on every slide because I was just reading them. And it was because I didn't know the material well enough. And over the years, now I can go and stand on stage and I can, you know, even as a former introvert or as a person with introverted tendencies, I can go and stand on stage and I have no problem talking for a long, 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 long time because I am a master. I'm a master at the content. And by being a master at the content, now I have so much material that, you know, just leaps to the forefront. I remember going back to the Fitness Business Summit days. So my friend Bedros Koulian started this event in 2007. I first spoke at it in 2010. And again, it was me laboring through these slides. I remember spending all day up in my hotel room practicing my presentation, and I was presenting at like 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening. And it was just isolation because I didn't want to screw up the presentation because I didn't know the content well enough. I knew it, but I didn't know it like an expert. And everything is easier when you know everything, okay? You just see people like Grant Cardone. I went to his sales boot camp the other month, and he went on stage at about 9:30 in the morning And he talked for 3.5 hours straight with no slides, and he didn't take a break. And he just kept on telling story after story after story, because this man is downloading his entire career onto us. And it was amazing and very, very powerful. So this guy was a content expert. Everything is easier when you're at that level. And he was just able to go. And man, his energy levels for a 62-year-old man blew me away. Now, how do you become an expert? Well, obviously you study and you need to write, you need to do your presentations that are going to be not great at first. Then you practice, practice, practice. But also you need to really be focused on customer Q&A. The customer Q&A in your business is going to give you an exponential amount of content. You don't even have to work hard if you simply answer the questions that come in from your happy customers. They're going to help you create new products. They're going to help you create more content, video scripts, all of this stuff, all of the answers that you seek in becoming prodigious with content is in the customer Q&A. So pay attention to that, and it will pay you back many, many fold. So that's the first one. Make sure that you are a content expert, and creativity will never be a problem for you. Next up is that while you need to be a content expert deep, deep, deep down in your area of expertise, I also want you to be an expert generalist. And what this means is that, and I stole this term from kind of like the management world and the entrepreneurship world, where they talk about how sometimes an expert generalist is the greatest kind of CEO to have, because an expert generalist is kind of good at management. They're good at accounting. They're good at this. They're good at that. They understand everything. And that allows them to manage all the parts of the business. Whereas if you just took someone who had only spent their entire career in sales and made them the CEO, they'd have a lot of weaknesses. So as an expert generalist in content creation, I want you to be well-read. I want you to be well-read, lots of books. I want you to watch movies. I want you to know pop culture. If you know pop culture, if you know the trends in your industry, if you are well-read, you're going to have so many, well, first of all, you're going to have so many topics that you can cover. Second of all, you're going to have so many ways to tie it in to the zeitgeist, what's going on in somebody's mind, which is a really great example of a really great principle of great content creation. But also, you're going to be able to tell great stories. If you haven't read a whole bunch of books, if you haven't read a lot of fiction, you're not going to be a good fiction writer. If you haven't spent a lot of time reading biographies, you're not going to write a great biography. You're probably not going to write your own great autobiography. You're not going to write the great story of how you made your transformation in life. You really have to be well-read if you are going to be writing content. You have to be, would it be called well-viewed? I don't know, well-watched. if you want to make great YouTube videos, you need to be a consumer, a connoisseur of great YouTube videos. Now, I will actually say there's a caveat to that, that I've never listened to a podcast, but I have my own podcast. And the reason why I have my own podcast and I have a great podcast, in fact, our Empire podcast, the one I do with Bedros, and I put together all of those shows in advance for him and I to do. The reason why we're top 10 in business in iTunes, well, first of all, we're content experts. We're just telling our stories because we've been entrepreneurs for a combined 50 plus years now. But also is because I've been interviewed 300 plus times on other people's podcasts. And I know what podcast stuff works and where it fails. So it's not that I have consumed podcasts as an outsider, but I've been involved in so many that I've become an expert. So you want to be a content expert, then you want to be an expert generalist in the way and, you know, formulas of telling stories. Now, those are kind of like some base level things. The next thing you need to have with your content creation is what I call your 10 commandments, or my friend Porter Stansberry called your stump speech and your back in black. And Porter is a financial newsletter writer. And the reason he was talking about this and used that phrase is he says, when people come to see him speak, they kind of want to hear just the hits, right? Just the main messages that they've read about or they've heard him talk about before. Just like when you go to an AC/DC concert, and I know that everybody listening to this goes to AC/DC concerts, you want to hear Back in Black. You don't want to hear their experimental new music. No, you only want to hear the hits. So think about whatever band you love to follow. You wouldn't want to go and just listen to their B-sides, the songs that didn't get on the radio. Imagine you went to a Coldplay you know, concert and didn't hear, you know, Trouble or Yellow or The Scientist. You went all the way to the shows and you didn't hear those songs? That just wouldn't make sense. And so back to your content. You really only need to go over and repeat several main messages. And it's really like that's the meat of it. You need to know the meat really well. And then through analogies, through storytelling, through connection to pop culture, through connection to other stories, other literature, that is how you, you know, kind of add the icing on the cake of the content. And by having just a small number of main messages, you can really crank that out. And it doesn't require you to be sit there and brainstorm and go, oh my gosh, I have to come up with a new lesson. No, you don't. You don't need a new lesson. And so I've been teaching this in my Instagram course and to my social media clients and to all of my coaching clients as well. And I created something called a 5x5 grid. And hopefully you've heard me talk about this before, but the 5x5 grid is very, very simple. I want you to think about the five most important topics that you need to address in your business, whether it's through email marketing, whether it's through YouTube videos, whether it is through everything from Instagram posts, all the way down to your speeches on stage. And so there's five main messages. I mean, there can be more, but let's keep it simple and just do five. And so when I tell people to do this, they actually get really stuck and hung up, but it's very simple. And I've been creating some done for you versions. And so imagine if you're a nutrition coach and you're thinking, well, what are the five main messages that I would need to take to my clients to help them be successful? And what are the five main messages that I need to repeat over and over and over again? And you might think, well, people get tired of this. Well, no, they won't. First of all, they get bombarded with so many messages that they don't even really know what you stand for until they've heard you repeat it over and over and over again. So that's what you need to do. And you know, the reason why I say this is because I've learned from real world experience that people will forget what I've said. Now, there's the Maya Angelou quote, which says, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, they never forget how you made them feel. And so your content has to make them feel a great way. But it's very true, they will forget what you said. And I told this story before, I think, on the podcast, that I have clients who have been my clients for months, if not a year, who think my name is either Chris or Greg. Chris or Greg. They don't think it's Craig. They think it's Chris or Greg. And they're my clients. Now imagine what somebody who's not my client, who's hearing, you know, content from Brendan Burchard and Tony Robbins and deciding, you know, should I go with Craig, Tony, or Brendan for my coach? And if I don't show up and repeat the main messages, my 10 commandments, my back in black, my stump speech, they won't know what I stand for. They won't know that I stand for productivity and discipline and, you know, getting stuff done fast and being a no BS type of guy. They need to hear that over and over again. So back to the nutrition coach option. And recently I was putting this done for you thing together. And I said, here are the five main messages that I told back when I was in the fitness days. So I always had this restart motivation message that it doesn't matter what happened last night or in what last meal or if you skipped a workout, that right now is always a time to start again. So that's one of my main messages. I want everybody to understand, hey, you can start again today because, hey, listen, if you can start again today, that means you can buy my program again today. I also made my chops and made my money with the second main message, which was never, ever do cardio again. Okay. I called it long, slow, boring cardio. You never have to do it. And I was thinking about this earlier today, in that people always got so angry at me and, oh, I want to live forever. And, you know, you have to, you know, do cardio for your health. And I'm like, well, if you've ever heard of the blue zones are like these seven areas in the world that have the longest lifespan. And I bet if you went in there and interviewed all the people that they interviewed for the book and you said, have you ever used an elliptical trainer or a treadmill? First of all, they'd look at you like you had nine heads. But second of all, they'd say, no, they didn't do cardio and yet they lived a long, long time because of their lifestyle. So it's not about cardio. So I said, never, ever do slow, boring cardio again. It's a waste of your time. You'll hate it. You do hate it. You end up reading magazines that other people have read and, you know, those machines are so dirty and my goodness, you're going to end up with all these overuse injuries. So that was my second big message. Third, My third message was accountability is key for fast results. And that's why you need an expert or a coach on your side. And obviously that was a little self-serving as well, but it was true. And then I always talked about how to prevent weight gain, especially wicked weekend weight gain. And then the fifth thing, and I had a very famous YouTube video on this where I did not eat anything. I worked out while my friend ate a pizza. And in 4 minutes, I burned 42 calories and he consumed 1,200 calories. And that was our fifth message, which was diet is more important than exercise. And we just retold those messages over and over and over again through different ways. So I say, once you have your five main messages in your 5x5 grid, then you need to tell those content pieces through your story. And having and knowing and being willing to share your story is a key component of creating a ton of great content. If you are not willing to be vulnerable and authentic, if you resist creating content around yourself, if you don't want people to know that you suffered a failure, or maybe you had maybe you were an alcoholic, or maybe you know you had a troubled childhood, if you hide that and you try to be perfect, first of all, it's going to come out of the closet eventually. The skeleton will come out of the closet eventually. And I always like to say that this is one of the things that ruined Hillary Clinton's approach for being president, right? She did not want to talk about her skeletons. And so other people did, and they controlled the narrative around her mistakes, her faults, her flaws. And once somebody else finds out something about you, and they are the first person to create the content about it, you've lost the game. So for me, I'm like, hey, listen, eventually people are going to find out that I was a binge drinker, that I had anxiety. So I am going to own this narrative. And so for me, it's really easy to tell my story about all of these five issues, about how I did way too much cardio when I was younger, and I was too skinny, and I lost a lot of respect for my friends, and I was just an idiot. And I also talk about all the stupid things I overdo over the weekend and how, you know, I binge eat chocolate covered almonds. And you know what? I'm going to overcome that by starting again today. And I talk about how, with accountability, when I finally got a coach in my life, I had exponential results. But forever, I tried to do it myself and I was hard headed and a know it all. And that hurt me. And so on and so forth. And so I will tell these stories because, hey, listen, eventually people are going to find out I'm not perfect and I'm going to own the narrative. So those are the 5x5. That's how to set up a 5x5 grid for anything. Okay. You don't have to use it for nutrition. If you're a real estate agent, you could talk about, hey, listen, why you never have to go to an open house ever again. If you want to buy a home, who knows? I'm just making stuff up here. You know, the number one secret to staging your home for a fast sale, the little known secret about finding the perfect neighborhood for your family. You know, these are just a couple of things that if you're a content expert, you'll know the answers to this and you'll be able to tell story after story after story about these things, making it almost like a stump speech. And a stump speech is the speech that you tell over and over again because people want to hear these stories, okay? So people will not get bored of your stories until they've heard them probably about 10 times. And I know this because I went to so many Dan Kennedy events and I can recite the story that's coming out of his mouth. And so, you know, I'm not in his world anymore because eventually I faded out of it. But I was in it for a long time, you know, 10 years pretty much, going to his events, spending a lot of money with him, enjoying his stories and learning from them. And I needed to hear them a couple times till they really sunk in. So the fourth part is your magic time. When you find your magic time, when you ruthlessly protect your magic time, you will triple your productivity because that's the time of day when you're more energetic, more creative, and more productive and more disciplined, okay? The magic time, you have to find that out on your own by going through the time journal that I've talked about. So if you haven't listened to my time ownership podcast or read my book, The Perfect Day Formula, I talk a lot about the magic time in there, and I want you to check that out. It'll be super beneficial for you because it goes into greater depth about it. But essentially, magic time and how to use the time journal with magic time is essentially find the time of day when you are more productive, more creative, more energetic than any other time of day, and then make sure that you are doing creative work in that time. Don't schedule meetings during it. Don't do podcasts during it. Don't answer email during it. Don't work out during your magic time. You have to protect this because you can get 3 to 6 hours of work done in 90 minutes when you work inside your magic time. It's not the same as deep work. People always ask me that. Deep work is the work done inside the magic time. But the magic time is a time of day where you must do that deep work. Stephen King, one of my favorite authors when I was a young man, I read so many of his books up until, was it Dolores Claiborne or something? I think that was like the, when he jumped the shark for me and I said, I don't like this book. And I stopped reading it. I also didn't like Misery. I hated Misery. But I loved It. It was the first one that I read. No, Thinner was the first one I read. It wasn't really that great. It was the first one I fell in love with. The Stand was amazing. Pet Sematary, I didn't like that much. It was really gruesome and weird. Carrie was okay. I didn't love it that much. And then there was a couple of his short stories that like haunt me to this day. One is called The Jaunt. Like it's about time travel and just really messes me up when I try and think about it. And then another one that he made into a movie that was a short story was called The Mist. And that one, there's an ending where it's like there's not a real ending to it. And I think The Jaunt and The Mist might have been both in the same novella. And then obviously Stand By Me was great, but better as a movie than as a book. It's one of the few. So anyways, Stephen King writes from 9 a.m. till 1 p.m. He has 2,000 words that he has to write in that time. Obviously, he's more about quality words than I am because I can write about 2,000 words in about 2 or 3 hours, whereas he writes about 4 or 5 hours, and then he gets to listen to the Boston Red Sox baseball game. Very interesting gentleman, that Stephen King. If you've never read his book on writing, please do. Please do. That will also help you with your creativity. Number 5 is rituals. So my friend John Carlton, the great copywriter, you know, he has this ritual where he walks around his desk and he wears old sweatpants. And that signifies when he's wearing that outfit and when he walks around his desk, it signifies the time for him to write. For me, I wake up first thing in the morning. I drink 1.5 liters of water before I consume anything else. Now, I don't do it all at one time, but I just start chugging. I usually chug 500 milliliters of water. Then I'll sit down as soon as possible after I go to the bathroom. These days, I will take the dog outside. When I didn't have my pup, I would just go right to work. Back when I had Bally and he didn't need to go outside right away, I would just pet him for a bit and then go chug that water and sit down behind the computer and start writing. And that was my ritual. Very simple. You don't need an elaborate ritual in order to be creative. You just need to know when it's game time, when it's on. And I was working in my magic time. So if you combine the ritual that says, okay, it's work time now, with your magic time by protecting that from all other work, now you've pretty much, you know, you half begun is half done, as Mary Poppins, I believe she said that. And you also need to eliminate distractions. So no phone, you know, put that in airplane mode, put in another room so you can't use it during your magic time. You can't be distracted by it. Use a internet blocker if you're writing on a computer and you get tempted to go on Facebook or something, and just protect yourself so that, you know, I like to do the arm's length test. When you sit down to be creative and write, just put your arms out to your side as far as they can go and then rotate. And then everything within arm's length is a distraction. It could be water. It could be a snack. It could be M&Ms. It could be your phone. And just eliminate everything from arm's length. And now, if you do that, that can be part of your ritual. Then you start your magic time and you dive deep on the content you know. Man, the content will crank out of you. Next, number 6 is having an anthology of analogies. Anthology of analogies. This is where the being well-read comes into play because it helps you with humor, okay? If you have read all the Lords of the Rings books, like my friend John Romanello, and he's read all the Game of Thrones books, now he can bring those into his fitness writing. And he can make an analogy between, hey, you know, the battle for the White Wall or West Wall, I never watched any of those Game of Thrones things, is similar to the battle for your belly fat. And here's why. And it becomes a great story, right? And I read a lot of biographies. So I will talk about, you know, Carnegie and Ford and Rockefeller, and I'll tie those in. And in fact, one of my friends does this even better, a guy named Jason Capital, who's speaking at the Perfect Life Retreat. So I should mention that. Go to perfectliferetreat.com right now. Get the best deal on tickets. Come and watch Jason Capital. He is a multimillionaire at age 29. He's one of my longtime coaching clients, longtime friends. I met him at age 19. So I've known him for 10 years. And I've watched this guy evolve into an amazing young man, great speaker, and he's going to teach power persuasion and power communication. And he does an amazing job in his Instagram stories and his YouTube videos of talking about Bezos and Buffett. I mean, this is a very well-read young man, right? He's an expert generalist, a content expert. He has all of this material at his fingertips, and he can tie these things in. He can tie in a story of Bezos into how somebody should buy his Instagram product. It's absolutely amazing. And so he has this anthology of analogies, which allow him to do that. And I also would say, like, I'm going to fit this in this category here. You want to have humor in your writing. So the I watch, comedy on YouTube, like Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K., you know, some pretty vulgar dudes. Not Sam Kinison style. I'm not really into that vulgar. But Sebastian Maniscalco is another great one. And you just get, like, joke material. Like, oh, this is how you tell a great joke. George Carlin as well. You know, go and watch some of his old stuff. Rest in peace, George. And so you have that. And then I also really encourage you to have a lot of caffeinated, crazy ideas. And what I mean is, when I get a little bit of caffeine in me, all of a sudden I get crazy ideas, and then I'm like, I have to filter them later on. But, you know, write without editing. And it's okay to have a lot of half-written content. I have tons and tons of articles, probably over 150, if not 200 half-written articles that, you know, seemed like a good idea at the time, but not really worth pursuing in the end. So when you have an anthology of analogies, what this allows you to do is help somebody understand something through, you know, if you're teaching like a concept. And I just read this book about space and time. Oh my goodness, it was Carlo Ravanelli or something. And it was a very small book, but it was understanding black holes and stuff. And Stephen Hawking has another one about, it's supposed to be like, and everything you need to know about time or something. I can't remember the exact titles of this. I apologize. But anyways, in these books, they were explaining very heady concepts using analogies. And so that is A Brief History of Time is Stephen Hawking's book. I didn't like it. It was supposed to be great and I didn't like it. And then Seven Brief Lessons on Physics is the other book that I read recently. And they were able to make some really good analogies, like, oh, I see how space, the Earth in space is like a marble moving through a maze that has rounded edges on it. It was like, that's not how I pictured space at all, but it was a really cool analogy. So when you have an anthology of analogies, you can take something and make it simple to understand. You've probably heard the old phrase that great teachers take complex things and simplify them. And that's what you want to be able to do. Dan Kennedy, one of my mentors, he would always say, you want to make it taste like chicken, right? What does alligator taste like? And I've had alligator, and I did think it tasted like chicken, but it was also deep fried and breaded, right? Well, yeah, it does taste like chicken. Well, everything tastes like a chicken nugget when you deep fry it and bread it. But that's what everybody says, right? When they try a new meat, unless it's gamey, then they, you know, I don't know what they say then, but, you know, when you try certain meats, you say, well, it tastes like chicken. And that's what an analogy is. Oh, this mathematical concept, when explained with a scene from Good Will Hunting, oh, I get it now. It's like that. It's like that. I always would say, like, fat burning is like a faucet, right? A faucet, when you turn it on, you know, you can either turn it so that a little bit of water comes out, or you can turn it on so that a lot of water comes out. And what you do in your workout ramps up your fat burning. So you either open up the faucet or you close the faucet by your decisions, but it never turns off. And so, you know, you use these analogies, and all of a sudden people go, oh, I totally get it. And that's what you need. And that makes your writing a lot easier, and it makes it fun, and it makes it entertaining for the end user. Now, finally, the last thing is the power of the deadline is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing for being creative. And I love this story that Dan Kennedy shared. I have no idea if it's true or not, but he said, according to legend, Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, he had a deadline to come up with a title for the book. And about 3 hours before he had the deadline for the book title, it was called something stupid. And it was called Use Your Noodle to Get the Boodle. Use Your Noodle to Get the Boodle. That would not have sold 9 billion copies like Think and Grow Rich. So he went and had a nap. And this is actually another secret that I didn't put in here, but I believe in the power of subconscious. So you can get your mind to do the work if you tell it to do the work while you go have a nap. So I believe in like, hey, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do my writing. I'm going to do some planning and preparation for it. I'm going to write this book chapter on, you know, how to be creative. And, you know, these are like a couple of my bullet points. And now I'm going to go to sleep and my brain is going to write the article overnight. And I'm going to wake up and the words are going to pour out of me. And I truly believe that. So what Napoleon Hill did was he was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have a nap and come up with the idea for a better title. And sure enough, he woke up just before the deadline and he said, it's going to be called Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich. And so now, in 2015, reportedly 100 million copies of this book have been sold. 100 million copies of Think and Grow Rich. Absolutely amazing. And you know what? The title probably really, really helped. So now what we have is when the deadline is there, it spurs us to action, just like in anything. Because you'll be sitting there going, you know, I have until Friday to write this essay, or I have until, you know, next month to write this book chapter. And there's no pressing urgency. So you're like, I just can't think of anything to write now. But all of a sudden, when that deadline is like tonight, you will become creative. So deadlines do force you. So I will use bedtime sometimes as a deadline to get work done. I will either do really well with magic time in the morning, or you know what? Deadlines can force me to do almost as well as magic time. When I do product launches, hey, listen, we got to come up with email copy. And sure enough, you get it done. And when I was writing Unstoppable, I had made this promise to all of the attendees of my Perfect Life retreat that I was going to give them a copy of my new book, Unstoppable. I didn't have it done. I didn't have one chapter done when I said that like last year. And sure enough, I got it done. Now I just about broke myself hitting that deadline. I mean, I was up writing from 4 till 7:30 every morning. My butt hurt so much. And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And this is when my dog was dying. And when I was traveling across the country to do masterminds and all this stuff, but I made a promise and I had to hit it. And it turned out great, but I'm never doing that again. Put it that way. I'm never going to force myself on such a crazy deadline, but great works come out of deadlines, okay? Great works do come out of deadlines. They force you to be creative. And Grant Cardone had a really great phrase that he shared when I was at his boot camp the other month. He said, when you're committed, you'll get creative. So if you're committed to writing a book, you'll get creative enough to write it. But if you are just saying, oh, I want to write a book, and you're not actually truly committed to it, you'll never have the ideas to write it. If you're committed to writing a video sales letter like my client Mike Zhang was, to becoming rich by copywriting, then he, because he was committed to that, he became creative and he listened to 60 hours of copyright training for 8 months in order to become a good copywriter. So he was committed to copy and he got creative and now he's making bank. Okay, so if you are committed, you will become creative. So let me outline those again. Content expert, expert generalist, having your 10 commandments, writing in your magic time or creating in your magic time with rituals, having an anthology of analogies and a big deadline to spur you on. That is what is going to help you become creative, unstoppably creative. And it's going to allow you to write the books and the scripts and the sales letters so that you can 10x your creativity, triple your productivity, and 2 to 10x your income. So let me know what you thought of that. That was a lot of fun. It's a question that I've been asked for years and years and years. I've always thought of putting this together, but I finally got around to it because I had a deadline of creating a podcast and I needed to come up with something, but I also wanted to share with you. So listen, I'm going to be talking more about this, more about time ownership, more about making money, more about building the unstoppable money machine. Jason Capital is going to be at my Perfect Life retreat, talking about power of persuasion and communication. And Sharon Srivatsa is going to be there talking about making money. Bedros Koulian is going to be there talking about leadership. We are going to have other guests. Xander Fryer is going to be there talking about selling without selling and how to become the sales whisperer. And I want you to be there too. So go to perfectliferetreat.com today. Get the best deal on tickets. And we'll see you there, okay? It's going to be absolutely amazing. And the other week, I had a deadline of putting together sales copy for this event. And I came up with the 5 power skills. I just came up with them. I looked at my guys, my speakers, and I said, you know what? These are like Marvel superheroes, and here are their power skills. And I came up with profitable power speaking, which is what Jason is going to teach. Sales persuasion for the new economy, which is what Xander and Sharon are going to teach. Effectiveness, not productivity, not efficiency, but effectiveness. That's what I'm teaching with my time ownership techniques. Then Martin Rooney and Bedros Koulian are going to come in and teach culture building. That's their superpower. And then finally, you're going to have the opportunity. The 5th power skill is networking. We're going to have done for you networking. I'm going to introduce you to 3 people. They're going to help you add 6 figures to your business. And we're also going to have roundtables with all of our experts. So you're going to get to meet and greet them and learn from them. Those are the 5 power skills you're going to get at the Perfect Life Retreat. So go to perfectliferetreat.com today. Get your tickets for November 8th and 9th in San Diego. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We had over 360 people there last year. It's going to be more people this year. And we also have really great snacks. Okay. So make sure you're there at perfectliferetreat.com. We'll see you very soon. This is Craig Ballantyne from the Early to Rise podcast. And I'd love to hear from you on Instagram about what you thought about my 7 steps to creativity at Real Craig Ballantyne on Instagram, or email me at support@earlytorise. And then head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating for today's show. All right. So see you in November at the Perfect Life Retreat. And we'll talk to you very soon. Oh, and also drop me a message and let me know what you've created with these 7 steps.